Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone. If you feel your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star two. And our first question is coming from the line of Scott Davis from Barclays.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Morning, Scott.
Just on the margin targets, Jeff, and I don't want to make you repeat yourself for the third time today, but just to be clear, you are expecting to make the 70 basis points for the year, including Power and Water, right? Not excluding Power and Water?
Yeah, including Power and Water, Scott. I think, you know, we started the year with more than we needed at 130, 140 basis points. We spent a little bit of that in the first quarter, but, you know, we see Power and Water strengthening for the year. We think the margin rate for Power and Water will be, you know, kind of flat year over year. And even with that, we expect margin rates to go to grow by 70 basis points. And we still have a hedge in that number. This is not an uncommon profile for us, you know, for Scott, in terms of the way that the year lines up and stuff like that. I don't know, Keith, you want to just
sure.
go through some of the dynamics of margins?
Well, sure. Let me just start with the profile, and then we can go back to the pieces if you want, Jeff. You know, over the last 7 years, on average, over the last 7 years, we always have margin growth from the first quarter to the total year. And in five of the last 7 years, we have declines in the first quarter, so it's not an uncommon profile for us. We grow our margins from the first quarter anywhere between 50 and 280 basis points. On average, it's about 150 basis points. And in 2006 and 2010, we grew our margins approximately what we need for 2013. So it's not uncommon, and we do have a lot of work to do. And we can take you through the pieces either by the categories or by business, Scott, whatever you'd like.
So that's, you know, Scott, I think that's what everybody's, you know, that's what we're, that's what we've got in all of our expectations and all the execution models for the team.
Okay, fair enough. And as a follow-up, you know, when you think about this backlog that you're building and you know, book-to-bill is solid and such, but, you know, are you booking this backlog at a margin that's accretive to your existing margin structure that, you know, that helps, you know, yield some confidence, one, for the 70 bips, but also set us up for, you know, 2014 to see operating margins continue to move forwards?
So the margins in backlog are actually higher. We've had good pricing, Scott, for the past five quarters. And our value gap, when you really hone in on our value gap, is wildly positive. You know, we had a very strong value gap in the first quarter. That's only going to ramp for the year. So, you know, the value gap could be $800 million plus this year, and so I think that all portends to, you know.
Okay, I'll pass it on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Your next question is from the line of Steve Tusa, J.P. Morgan Chase.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I guess just my first question is on a little bit of, I guess, housekeeping on oil and gas. Definitely a weaker performance than I was expecting. I mean, the margin down year over year, the orders there have been trending, you know, really well. You said turbo machinery was down. Is that, can you maybe give us a little bit more color around, you know, what drove the downside there?
You're talking about top line, or are you talking about order?
Well, I guess top line and profit. I mean, I guess both.
Well, if you look, I'll start overall with orders. You know, turbo machinery had very strong orders. They're up 70%. It's driven by strong upstream. Again, those are a little longer cycle in terms of when they deliver. Drilling and surface was up 48%. We had more BOPs and risers up. Pressure control was up, and artificial lift was up. Subsea, we had one big order delayed in the quarter. We had about a little under $500 million associated with a large subsea project that's been pushed. We think that's pushed into the third quarter. And on revenue, turbo machinery revenues were down in the quarter. I think some of this is timing. We had large LNG projects in the quarter relative to last year's Gorgon and LNG projects, Curtis project in Australia. Drilling and surface was up 6% with artificial lift up 15%. And subsea was down 10%. Again, we had some tough timing relative to projects last year. But the backlog itself is up a couple $1 billion. And pricing is up for the eighth quarter in a row. And, you know, it's a little longer cycle. I think the only softness in M&C Services was something we're watching. It was a little less than we expected, a little over $100 million, as we just saw some push-outs and people making pushing out the investment decisions. But the core of oil and gas, subsea, drilling and production, turbo machinery has a very good outlook in terms of equipment deliveries.
Hey, Chris, these guys were, on a profit basis, probably 30 or 40 weaker than I really wanted them to do this quarter. I still think this business is going to be high single-digit revenue, strong double-digit operating profit growth for the year. I think what Keith mentioned, we saw late in the quarter, you know, kind of a flow business in the control side that's something that we're not counting on necessarily getting better for the year, but was just kind of around the edges, or else I think we would have done better in the quarter.
Gotcha. And then one just follow-up. I mean, again, we're kind of – you know, we're kind of sitting here in a tough macro. You know, this happened in the fourth quarter. You know, I guess when I look at these results and I listen to the, you know, you guys explaining what's going on here, I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling how many moving parts there are here, especially again in GE Capital. I mean, at what point do we again kind of maybe evaluate the size and complexity of the organization you know, and make, I guess, a tougher, longer-term decision on, you know, on the structure of the company. It just seems like, you know, a little bit of macro weakness kind of goes a long way, and there's just so many moving parts to even be able to forecast and manage it has to be a challenge. So I'm just curious as to, you know, how you guys view that in the boardroom.
Steve, let me just go back and tell you what happened vis-a-vis my expectations, and you know, I just want to, you know, maybe talk openly and, you know, just give you a thought. I think the industrial side was about $200 million weaker than I would have planned for, what our internal plan was. We basically saw Europe was running -5, -8 through February. By the end of the quarter, that was -15. That was a pretty big move. I think you've seen it reflected in a lot of other companies' announcements. On the short cycle stuff, we saw pushes, you know, pretty consistent with what other people had seen. Now, given the volatile time, you know, the leadership team created multiple hedges in the plan. We had a $500 million, you know, we were always running corporate for less than what we needed. We had other hedges in the company. So by the time you put it all together, we're basically consistent with commitments, which is the way you'd want us to run the place. So I just think, you know, look, I think we're explaining $200 million out of a big company, but we've been able to offset that through other hedges and operating disciplines we've got inside the company, which is, I think, what you want us to do. So.
Okay, I mean, I guess,
I
appreciate it. I think this year is obviously the, again, we're kind of sitting here and it's back end loaded. So it's, you know, the second half is a very serious commitment that I know a lot of the investors I talk to, you know, are going to be watching very closely. So I appreciate the comments and good luck.
Steve, we're focused on it as well. It's the way the all the comp plans are driven, and the basic cycle of power and water is, you know, more or less consistent with the way we had talked about the year.
This is a power and water story. If you look, you know, our revenues, take out the NBC gain, you look at industrial sales are down $1.3 billion. Thermal and wind are down $1.5 billion. This is what we're going to be wrestling through, is that power and water volume profile that Jeff showed you.
Right. Okay, thanks for the detail.
Right,
appreciate
Steve.
It. Yep.
Okay, Steve, thanks.
Your next question is from the line of Nigel Coe, Morgan Stanley.
Good morning,
yes.
Nigel.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning. So just, you know, Jeff, you commented that on the 2-6 that, you know, more towards the lower end of that range for the full year. And it seems that the weakness in oil and gas and the weakness in power and water are more of a timing issue. So we've seen some pushouts, but the profile seems to be very much in line with what you'd expected. So I'm just wondering what else is driving us down towards the lower end of that range for the full year. I mean, first of all, I think it's prudent to do that because you had a -5 in the first quarter, but I'm just wondering, maybe in some of the short-cycle businesses, you know, where are we now versus where we were in December?
You know, Nigel, I think the way we look at just in total how we run the company is we don't necessarily assume things are going to get better, right? So we saw, I'd say, you know, not in a catastrophic, but we saw Europe marginally get worse during the quarter. We're now not counting on that getting better, right? We saw a couple of the short cycle businesses get pushed, we've gone through a pretty granular analysis here of what we think comes back and what we shouldn't count on. And I think when you do that calculus, we just think the smartest thing to do is to say to investors, look, we think this could be at the low end of the range because we're not counting on stuff getting better during the year. If it does, great, but we're not counting on it, and we're going to take out cost accordingly, you know, so that we, you know, kind of hedge our bet. So that's really the answer, Nigel, is we just don't count on everything coming back that got pushed, and we don't count on things that we viewed getting incrementally worse getting better.
Okay, but when we calibrate our models, should we be putting a bit more pressure on, you know, healthcare and perhaps home and business solutions, or was it fairly evenly spread?
You know, I think again, guys, I guess if I were, and Keith, I'd your views as well. I think, you know, look, power and water, we would like to surprise you guys on the upside as you go through the year, right? So think about the power and water just profile in the year. And then other than that, you know, I'd say healthcare was a smidge weaker than we would have expected, but we still think oil and gas and home and business and the other businesses are going to be, you know, pretty solid. I don't know, Keith.
Sure. I think you said it exactly right. When you look at what happened in the quarter, we're trying to take that into account and decide what does it mean for the year, and not counting on Europe certainly getting a lot better. That's going to take it probably to the low end of the organic range. Power and water, we originally thought would be close to flat. I think today we're saying power and water probably for the year will be down a bit, and that's based on the profile that we saw in the quarter and our expectation of what that means for the year. You do see it getting better in the second half, and you do see the recovery, but in total it's probably a little weaker than we wanted for the total year. The other businesses we'll see. I think we've got a great backlog in oil and gas. We've got to execute on the long cycle projects. What will we see in the short cycle there? We'll have to see. I think healthcare could be a little, you know, the U.S. market was a little, we're talking about plus or minus 1% here, not a lot of change versus our expectations in the healthcare model, I would say. So, you know, I think it's prudent to plan the way we are, and as Jeff said, we're going to have to continue to grind away at taking out the costs. We've got more restructuring that will happen through the year, as we said. We're committed to getting the $1 billion of cost out, and it could be higher based on what we have to do to right-size this place for this market.
No, that makes sense. And a quick one on the internal plan, the 1.3 points of internal target for margin. Does that include the additional benefit from the restructuring from, you know, the NBCU gain? Because the 1.3 points is higher than I expected and some of the...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does, Nigel. That's really one of the drivers of the difference.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Your next question is coming from the line of Julian Mitchell, Credit Suisse.
Thanks a lot.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning. Hi. So if I think about the EBIT bridge, you know, you called out kind of four main items behind that this quarter. Last quarter there was a fifth, which was also service. If I think about service and R&D, I mean, R&D, you'd said, you know, back in January that should be sort of flattish as a margin driver. You know, do you still believe that? Or, I mean, you highlight the fact that R&D was up 7% in Q1. Is there something extra on R&D pressure, maybe around the LeapX or something that we need to think about? And secondly, on services, you know, you had a plus there for services in the Q4 earnings slides. Services now, you've had four consecutive quarters of flat to down orders. The commentary around European services is obviously very bad. And I just wondered if your margin guidance embeds a recovery or how much of a recovery in services over the balance of this year.
Yeah, I think... the services, let me go to that point first. The services, we do expect a services improvement as we go through the year. We have some specific items that we're working on. For example, in power and water, as Jeff talked about, you know, we've got these advanced gas path upgrades. We've got over 50 of them that we're working on for the year. You know, we sold two in the quarter. We've got a number of those in the backlog and a number that would still have to be closed. So I think there are some specific items that we do expect. We have some comparisons in Europe that could be a little bit better. And the service margin rate was up 30 basis points in the first quarter. So I think for us, you know, when you look at the four factors on the margin page, mix, which does include equipment versus services, it was a positive 10 basis points in the quarter. We're estimating it'll be flat for the year. We're counting on less wind. We're counting on more GNX engines, as you saw, but that was kind of in the run rate in the first quarter, and we're counting on some services growth as we expect equipment to grow as we go into the second half. So we do have some services growth in the plan.
R&D, Julian, will be flat. I don't expect that to be headwind. I think we had aviation and oil and gas in Q1 that were at a higher run rate, but in total, that's going to be flat for the year.
It'll be flat as a percent of sales.
As a percent of sales,
yeah. It's right in line.
What Keith said on margin rates, again, I think we've got a good window on margin accretion in the service business.
Got it. Thanks. Then just secondly on the top line, just on if you think about sequestration, I guess, and how are you thinking about that playing into your guidance for the revenue outlook in military aftermarket and aviation and also for U.S. healthcare? Did you see much of an effect, or it was kind of just noise that caused some push-outs? Was that a factor behind the low end of the revenue growth guidance comment?
Let me start with aviation. We have about 90% of our equipment on firm order for the year. As you saw in the quarter, the equipment was actually up in the quarter, equipment deliveries. We believe that that's going to remain very strong. We're in certain programs that are priorities for the Defense Department, and things that aren't firm commitment aren't being cut right now. We did see a decline in service orders. Some of that was versus comparisons we had last year. We'll have to see how that plays out for the year. It was down about 14% in the quarter on revenue. I think that's about what the team expects for run rates on services. In the back half of the year, we'll have to see how the sequestration in total plays out. I think there's a couple of offsets that you got to think about. One is our international military engine business is very strong. We had orders for about a little under 200 F-110s for the Saudi Air Force. That extends the production line of the F-110 product through 2016. We had India order for the light combat aircraft on the 414 and Switzerland on the 414, and we've got some significant orders in line for helicopter engines for both the Army and the Navy. I think we're concerned about it on the short cycle side and services. I think it could put some pressure in the back half of the year. In terms of healthcare, the U.S. market was just slow. I don't find it to be, is there one driver? I think it's just the fact that there's a lot of uncertainty around healthcare. Providers are consolidating. They're worried about costs and making profit, and then they're just being cautious on purchasing. There, we got to drive our technology, and we have to continue to drive the productivity, and that's what that healthcare team is going to do. I think their year is going to depend on continuing to do well in the emerging markets as well as taking the cost out. They had a good cost out performance in the quarter, and they got to continue to do that through the rest of the year.
Great. Thanks.
Yep.
The next question is coming from the line of Jeff Sprague, Vertical Research.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning. Hey, I guess first question is maybe on capital allocation, dovetails a little bit with what Steve asked. There was an 8-K that came out about a week after the proxy, outlining that comp is going to be tied to 2015 industrial profits as a percent of earnings. Not sure why that wasn't in the proxy, but the real question is, can you share that target with us? It seems very apropos to kind of the valuation construct in the stock.
Well, Jeff, again, I think the way to think about that is it's going to be consistent with what we talk about externally vis-a-vis kind of vision for the company over the next 3 years. In many ways, you've got a perspective for that, I'd say, already.
It's a balanced set of measurements. We've got a cumulative EPS, we've got a cumulative cash, we've got a percent of earnings that are coming out of the industrial business, which we expect to increase through the growth playbook period here, through that three-year period, as well as a return on total capital, which will also incorporate what are the returns from both our industrial side and our financial services side, Jeff.
I think, Jeff, if you go back to the December outlook meeting, you'll see the guideposts. I think what we try to do is triangulate between total EPS, wanting to keep that on a certain trajectory, managing the mix of industrial financial, generating cash, and making sure that a return on total capital. I'd say the four metrics we have are pretty interwoven vis-a-vis how we think about value creation and how our investors want us to run the place.
Okay, great.
I would go to the outlook meeting, Jeff, and just, I think that gives you the guidepost.
That's what I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just thinking about industrial, just kind of trying to put these pieces together, it looks like you're going to pick up $0.04 in corporate on the lower guide. It looks like capital tax rate is $0.04. It's unclear if industrial tax rate's a little bit lower, but It feels like you're taking a dime out of industrial. Is that the right way to think about it? And could you share why corporate actually is going to be lower than you thought?
I think, Jeff, what we're basically saying is we think about the segments. I wouldn't change any of those other than necessarily power and water. And I think we basically guided power and water flat, and we're saying that could be down slightly. So I don't think we would agree with your math.
Yeah, it's very high. The capital tax rate is in the context of the total capital earnings for the year. There's going to be a set of asset optimization transactions that we're looking at. Some of them will cause potentially us to have higher tax benefits, and it may also go with lower earnings. So I don't think we're trying to do a direct offset for capital. And for a corporate, basically what we've been able to do, first of all, we had some better performance in the first quarter from NBC. That won't continue, obviously, but that's included in the negative 172 that we have sitting here. And then on a run rate basis, you know, we think we're going to be somewhere around $750, $775 million of base corporate expenses. We are getting some benefits from our simplification efforts. We have lower spending across the corporate functions. They're going to be down 10% for the year. And, that benefit will help us on our overall cost goals of getting $1 billion-plus out for the year, Jeff.
Okay, great. That's great perspective.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Shannon O'Callaghan, Nomura.
Morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, Shannon.
Hey, can you give us the gas turbine and wind turbine unit orders for the quarter?
Sure. Gas turbines, we had 8 units in the quarter. We had 4 steam turbines versus 1. On the wind turbines, hang on 1 second, I know I have it. It was down, but it was still... on renewables, we had 584 wind turbines versus 696 last year, so it's down about 30%.
Okay, and so, I mean, just thinking about this, right, I mean, you shipped like 12 in gas turbines, you got orders for 8. What's going on by geography in that number? Those are, I don't know when the last time those were that low, but that's a pretty low number. What are you seeing geographically, and you have any visibility into things getting better?
Yeah, I think, they're very spread, obviously, in the quarter. You know, we got a couple in Latin America, a couple in the Middle East, one in Russia, one in ASEAN, one in the U.S., so they're spread out. I think as you look forward, we're expecting to be somewhere between around 120 and 130 gas turbines for the year in orders, so you're going to see that pick up through the year. We do see some heavy activity in the Middle East. We've got some in EMEA, and we've got some in Latin America, and we've got some in Africa. So it's pretty spread. I think there's some core activity in the Middle East, which will be the foundation of that activity for the year.
You know, I said, we the McCoy report, we were up three points of share in gas turbine in 2012. So our position is still strong, and I think what Keith said, it's still our expectation to have 120-ish of orders in the year.
Okay, and then just a follow-up on the kind of the mix question. So, in terms of getting to the 65% industrial earnings, with the mix adjustments to this year that you made today, obviously 13 is not going to be a year that really gets you far in that direction of the target. I mean, with power and water kind of tracking below what you thought, I mean, does this reassess your route to the target in terms of organic methods versus portfolio moves?
I go back, Shannon, look, I'd say the quarter was, the macro was a little bit tougher than we'd expected coming into it, but we still expect to have a really good year industrially inside the company. And so, I still think there is a good chance that our percentage of earnings in industrial grows this year, even with the adjustments that we made today. And look, we've always been very open on portfolio moves vis-a-vis what we're trying to do in GE Capital around, really focusing on the green assets and being very open, kind of in an investor-friendly way to look at the portfolio. So we'll continue to work that. You know, we'll do it in a smart way. We'll do it in an investor-friendly way. You know, again, I think if you go back to the question Jeff asked earlier, you know, total EPS is a metric. How we allocate capital is a metric. Industrial percentage of earnings is a metric. Total CFOA is a metric. So, you know, we're going to drive value around all four of those metrics as we look at going forward. But we expect to have a good year industrially this year.
Sure, and you look at capital. We ended the quarter with $402 billion of NE. It's down $32 billion from last year. You know, there's not a lot of just huge transactions in there. I mean, we're continuing to run off. We got over $60 billion of non-core assets. We continue to run those off. The real estate gain enabled us to, you know, add to the current real estate plan another $2 billion of equity assets that we expect to exit this year. And so, you know, you're going to continue to see asset declines based on the red asset runoffs. If we can get a little better GDP, a little higher growth in the CLL business, that'd be great. But, you know, right now you'd say that, you know, that market continues to be relatively flat for asset growth, and we need a little better economy to kind of see that pick up. So right now I would expect that you're going to continue to see any declines in GE Capital.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Shannon.
Your next question is from the line of John Inch, Deutsche Bank.
Thank
Good
you.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, John.
Good morning,
guys.
John.
Just to want to pick up on the capital issue, what, Jeff and Keith, do you think is the dilution associated with capital downsizing, say, in 2013 year over year, and obviously that includes some of the actions that you described based on the gains that you were opportunistically able to leverage this quarter?
Well, just on actual volume down, if you took you know, $35 billion at a 1.5% return, that would be a total year estimate of sort of the lost margin, lost earnings that they have. Now, they offset some of that with cost. Our new business volume has been at better returns. But that'll size it for you, roughly, if that's what you're asking, John.
Yeah, I know it is. So
yeah.
From an E&I context, Keith, I mean, E&I is going to drop sub 400, I'm assuming, relatively quickly. Where do you think it ends? Like, what's the trajectory ultimately? Is it you just subtract the 60 and we have some optionality around some of the other possible investments, like in offshore banks or some of the other stuff? Or is there some other offset to that?
Well, the team is not trying to just have $60 billion of non-core assets go out and not grow the core business. I mean, we're actually trying to remix, as you know. You know, so far, though, if you look at the last couple of years, our runoff of non-core has exceeded our remixing. So it depends upon what that remixing looks like. You know, right now we continue to be active in the market. Our organic volume is you know, low single digits. We have a lot of refinancing that has occurred. We would like to acquire some portfolios if we could find the price to match our objectives on returns. We would do that. So we have capacity, obviously. You know, we've been shrinking and building up the equity. But, you know, so far, if you just look at what's happened so far, the runoff of non-core has exceeded the remix into the green assets. And we'll see what happens. As we've said in the framework discussions, you know, big material portfolio moves are not part of the base plan, but we're going to look at those opportunistically. We do have some value maximizing franchises in the business, obviously, and if we had the opportunity to move some of those based on the market or buyers or a better appetite, we would definitely evaluate those. But right now, the base plan is to continue to remix. If you look at the last couple of years, the runoff has exceeded the core growth. We'll see how that plays out, and we do have opportunity on value maximizing.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. Thanks. As a follow-up, could you guys spend just a second on China? It actually seemed to be one of the brighter spots in your quarter, and just in terms of, you know, China's obviously kind of was in a recession last year. What are you seeing today in your businesses there in the trajectory? And maybe you could put it in the context of price and orders and just how you're feeling about that market and its future contribution.
So, you know, what I would say, John, is, look, we had revenue up double digits last year. We had revenue up double digits in the quarter, and we had orders that were up 60% plus,
70%,
almost
China.
70%. So the way I always try to answer this is that we are a composite of the businesses we're in and not necessarily a reflection of everything. So if you think about our three biggest businesses, which are aviation, healthcare, and power and water, all three of them are in a pretty good cycle right now. Healthcare continues to grow, strong double digits.
Healthcare was up 14%. Aviation was up favorable. It had $900 million of orders. Oil and gas was a good quarter, up 76%. Energy power was down about 30%.
But, I mean, power's but got overall, the gas tailwind over time with more gas turbine demand vis-a-vis coal and other fuels.
Yep.
But I think over the long term, it's going to pretend well. So
we
think
China
will continue to be a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the question is, I mean, Europe, not just for GE, but others, downside surprise this quarter. It sounds like China was a little bit of an upside surprise. Is this, do you think this trend is sustainable, or is there some sort of a, you know, some kind of a first of year blip or aberration because of the timing of who knows what? Just something perhaps that...
You know, John, I think our growth region story is still pretty strong. Orders up 17% overall. I don't think we see this as a... We see this as more of a tailwind than a headwind for the year.
I think you got to levelize a 70% order rate. I mean, we're planning on double-digit order rates in China, and the start to the year gives us confidence that we'll have that for the year.
Got it. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Your next question is coming from the line of Deane Dray, Citi Research.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Deane.
I was hoping to get some color on the updated restructuring plans for the balance of the year. You know, the initial plan was the bulk was coming in the second and third quarter. I see some has slipped into the fourth quarter. But just comment on the timing. What are the areas you're able to talk about on the balance of these restructurings, the payback? And just we do recognize that these will be excluded from operating results because you've had part of that gain slip through or fall through on the first quarter.
Well, that's right. You know, we've tried to give you the profile. In the second, third, and fourth quarter, it's really a function of getting all of the work complete to be able to meet the criteria required to do the accounting. We have to have the plan finalized. We have to take all the actions, including getting whatever approvals might be required of works councils or negotiating with unions. That we have contractually in place, and some of those things are just going to fold into the second, third, and fourth quarter, and some of that money that's in the second, third, and fourth quarter is related to projects we've already approved. It's just the timing of getting those expenses accrued on the restructuring will fall into those later quarters. So the majority of it is going to be headcount and plant closing and site closings. We continue to downsize our footprint, and as part of simplification. People are reducing the number of profit and loss centers across the company. We are reducing the number of business sites. We're consolidating into common lease facilities. We're closing some of our older capacity plants. You've seen some of that in the U.S. And consolidating into different facilities that are more productive. So we've just got a tremendous amount of activity. It's spread across the world. It's about... probably about a half in the U.S. and the rest spread between Europe and Asia, a little bit in Latin America, and it's substantially reductions in compensation and benefits and then facilities.
Great. I know we're past
the hour. The payback's about 18 months, Dean. You asked about the payback.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Dean.
Your next question is from the line of Steve Winoker, Sanford Bernstein.
Good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, just to switch gears to capital for a second, any reason that you'd have to believe that the context is different in terms of thinking about the dividend announcement that was made, you know, roughly in May last year as you look out now? Any reason to believe that things have shifted in a way such that we should be thinking about that differently in 2013 versus what happened in 2012?
Well, I don't believe so. You know, as you know, we're not one of the CCAR entities. We do go through our own process that mirrors a lot of that activity one-on-one with our regulator. We don't comment on any of those discussions. You know, we have done, obviously, stress tests and capital plans, and we'll work constructively with them on that. And we, you know, our current expectation is that the timing would be similar to last year. And if that changes, we'll let you know. But that's our current expectation, Steve.
You know,
okay.
Steve, the E&I is lower and the ratios are better, right? So this GE Capital is in very strong position right now.
Okay, great. And just a minor question, but, you know, Safran had talked about $200 million of additional spend in the LeapX and Silvercrest. So it's obviously across, you know, two engines there. But That I'm just trying to equate sort of your responsibility in Elite Backside. Have we seen whatever tick up there might be already? Because they said that was additional spending they were going to be doing going forward. Have we seen that with you guys already?
Well, you saw the R&D in aviation is up. We do expect and have that in the run rate. The trade-off that we have is the Gen X spending on the PIP programs comes down. But aviation spending a lot of money. You know, in total, for R&D, we expect that to be flat as a percent of revenue for the business. Aviation will probably be a little higher than the other businesses. And it's in line with all the new programs that they have, as you said, the LEAP, the Passport, the finish of the PIP programs on the Gen X.
Okay, great. That's clear. Thanks
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
And the next question is from the line of Andrew Obin, Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Thank you very much.
Good morning,
Andrew. Good morning. Just a question on restructuring. So I think you mentioned that there is a 18-month payback on restructuring.
That's right.
So can you just talk about what was the margin cushion before NBCU divestiture, right, when you upped the restructuring targets?
You know, it was more than 70 basis points. The restructuring obviously is added to it. I don't have that broken out specifically. It did give us a
couple hundred million bucks, maybe something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
In terms of dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but from that perspective, that should flow into 2014 as well, right?
Oh yeah. No, look. Like I said, you know, we're gonna by 14 SG&A as a percentage of revenue is going to be 15%. We're on that path, and we're going to stay on that path.
And can you give
pretty good, go ahead.
And just a little bit more granularity as to which businesses you're going to sort of do restructuring in throughout the year, how that will flow business by business through the year, if you can do that.
I don't have it split by business. I think it would be pretty similar to the profile that I gave you. I gave you the dollars by business for the first quarter's restructuring. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't have a little higher proportion into power and water, energy management, and healthcare.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Those should be the three priorities.
Great. We've hit all the questions. So just to close out today, the replay of today's webcast will be available this afternoon on our website. We'll be distributing our quarterly supplemental data for GE Capital soon. I have a couple announcements regarding some upcoming investor events and dates. Next Wednesday, April 24th, is our 2013 annual shareholders meeting in New Orleans. We hope to see you there. On May 22nd, Jeff will present the 2013 Electrical Products Group EPG Conference. On June 19th, David Joyce and Norman Liu will host an analyst meeting in conjunction with the Paris Air Show. And then finally, our second quarter 2013 earnings webcast will be on Friday, July 19th. So thank you, everyone. As always, we'll be available today to take your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.